Got your Bibles? Go back to Romans chapter number 8. For our folks that's doing the sound and the messages, my title tonight is what it was this morning. It's never too late to start over. Part 2 of sermon number 1 in the series. I'm glad, I said it this morning, that I got a God that doesn't throw the clay away. I'm glad I got a God, when I fail Him, He never fails me. In my life right now, as I head to the latter years, I believe there's a whole lot of things that's happening in my life to prepare me right now to pastor this church till I'm finished. I really believe that with all my heart. God's given me an empathy and sympathy for people who have blew it. I think Baptists are the only people I know that don't give folks a second chance. I'm preaching. There's a lot of hurting people out of church tonight. Discouraged, disappointed, downcast. I want you to hear me. God still loves you. Yes. Amen. Yeah, He's real. Put a marriage back together. But see, there's a lot of Pharisees who say, no chance for you. Come on now. Amen. I'm looking at you, Pharisee. There's a lot of folks that counted you out. I'm glad that God says I still love you. Amen. Man, I'm telling you. Anybody else had a second chance? Want to tell us about it? Don't matter to me, man. I'll let you preach tonight. It's all right. Praise God. Romans chapter number 8. I'll try not to review much. I'm going to dive in where I stopped this morning. Let me give you three things. It's never too late to start over. I told you this morning, Satan will tell you you can't start over. Sinner crowd, the crowd will tell you you can't start over. Your buddies will tell you you can't start over. Sometimes even Christian saints will tell you you can't start over. Can I give you some advice? Best thing you can do is if you know a negative Christian and that's influencing you in a negative way, just stay away from them. Amen. Somebody said, well, do you choose your friends wisely? You got that right, friend, because I don't trust very many people. Good preaching anyhow. And I don't want, Jeff, I got enough negative running in my veins. I don't need to listen to somebody else. I'm kind of negative by nature anyhow. Because I'm human. I'm flesh. And you just, by the way, God wants you to steer clear from negative devices that will ruin your life. Amen. That's not even my message tonight. See? Amen. God's the God of the second chance. You're here tonight. I'm preaching part 2 because God, it's never too late to start over. Maybe you're in this room and you blew it. You used to serve God. You used to be a blessing in the work of God, but you blew it. You said, there will never be another chance for me. I went too far. I want you to know something. Jesus went all the way so He could pick you up out of your mess and make a miracle. miracle out of your mess. Three things by way of introduction where I started this morning. It's never too late because Christ's pardon erases our past. It's never too late because Christ's power controls my present. And here's where I was when I ended this morning. In verse number 28, one of the members came and gave me this, and I'm going to read this to you in a moment. In verse 28, number 3, because Christ's purpose transformed my problems. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. God's purpose, Christ's purpose, transforms my problems. Somebody give me this evening. It was inspired by Romans 8:28. It's entitled, "There is a reason for every pain that we must bear, for every sorrow and every care. There is a reason for every falsehood that is said, for every teardrop that is shed. There is a reason for every grief, for every trial, for every weary, lonely mile. There is a reason. And if we trust Him, as we should, all will work out for our good." God knows the reason. Man, I'm bogging down already. I'm glad I know God's got a big old plan. Amen. And I love God tonight. How many of you love God tonight? Maybe you're not the best Christian world. You love God tonight. You love Him tonight. Let me tell you something. This is on God's Word. That if you love God, God's got a big plan for you. And He's working it out for your good and for His glory. Can I do this? Can I just share something with you about this? And I'll go to point 4 in just a minute. I look at my life and I can tell you that God has allowed things in my life to bring me to the place I am right now. Can I just share 3 or 4 of them just for sake of sharing them? When I got saved, Bill Lamont will testify to this. I got saved at Pinch Baptist Church. And at that time, they had the interim pastor. Remember Bill? And here's, I'm a new Christian. Now you got to understand, I'm coming in. And I'll be honest, I got saved and I got called to preach 6 months later. Man, I'll tell you what, I'd never been in a church fight until I went to that church. He said, "Listen, man, I ain't been saved for 6 months." And they just called a preacher in. The preacher said, "That church, I didn't know that." Man, you ever get somewhere you just don't know? And I got in that church, and they served wine for communion. It wasn't like go to the liquor store wine. It's the kind you made, and it's the worst stuff. They tell me it's the worst stuff in the world. I didn't drink any of it. I wouldn't take communion anywhere that they serve liquor. Case closed. I don't believe in it. That's why the Universal Church has an alcoholic ward up there in Wheeling. Don't get me started. But that was a fighting trip. Bill, you remember? They voted. One guy said, "We don't want to have..." Remember what he said? He said, "I won't come unless you do away with wine." They needed 75%. He got about 77% or something like that to get rid of the wine, and 85%. Then called him, and the guy said, "No, I ain't coming anyhow." He's in the grave right now. He's a good man. I love him. Then the next guy comes in and says, I'm not going to take a church unless you redo the wine thing and we serve wine." How many believes that's confusing as a termite in a yo-yo? He said, "Why did God let me go through that, just a 6-month Christian? I think God was wanting me to show me how crazy Baptists can be." Amen. Say amen right there. I want to tell you, some of the craziest people I know are Baptists. That's all I know. So, you know, I ain't going to say Methodists are crazy because probably they are, but I don't know them. But I'll tell you something. I'm a Baptist pastor that's been pastoring 43 years, and they some crazy people in the Baptist church. I got called to preach in a church. Let me just show you how God done in my life. This is all things work together. I got called to preach and went to a church. They had 18 people, 19 people. One died after a year, and they went down to 18. You know where I found my love? Where I found real Christianity? What it was really about? Marguerite will tell you, it was Leatherwood Baptist Church. I can tell you, I pastored there 3 years, and nobody cussed me. I had no anonymous letters. They loved me. When I left, they cried. I think there's people right now, if I would leave here right now, they'd shout. Not very many. I could name but two or three of them. But they'd shout right now, welcome! You might as well. I'm going to try to outlive some of you. And make you endure me just as long as you can. I found God's will in my life. I found a loving people.
Amen.
I mean, they love me. Let me tell you something. You know what my weight problems are? My weight problem is because of that church right there. I had a woman took me to eat every Sunday. She had, anybody ever eat an apple dumpling? From me, you make them. And you make a good one. But you ain't as good as that woman. I'm sorry. Now, you can keep trying and let me know. But I found love there. I don't understand this, Ray, but God told me I had to go. And I went to a church called Hurricane Baptist Church in Clio. I went there. Looked like everything was great. What drew me there was young people. Young people, you know what drew me to that church? The church I had was older people, so I need to learn about younger people. And God said, you're leaving, go get younger people. And that church was like y'all. And I was there for 2 weeks. You know what happened, Bill? I'm going to tell you, it's a true end, Bill. I was there just a short time, and somebody burned the place down. Burn the church down. Larry, burn the church down. To the ground. We had to meet in a sewer infested ex-school. And I want y'all to know something. I wore a scarf. And hey, Rich, I wore a big old top coat, a scarf, and froze half to death. And they froze. And you know that church went from 80 in that when we went into the building and when we built in the spring, it was running 110 people. And God showed me through adversity that He was enough. Somebody help me right there. I want you to know something. God's enough. Then He get the progression. Then He took me down to South Park Baptist. I didn't know this. They just had a split before Kim got there. They had a split. I was there 6 months. Then God brought me here. And I could tell you there's been at least six or seven things that's happened to me in my ministry right here that I thought was terrible that God's worked for my good.
Amen.
4 years ago when I got heart problems, I've had heart problems actually 8 years, but 4 years ago when they got bad, I thought, how is this good? I'm going to say something. I hope you don't use this against me. I was almost reluctant to do this, but I'm going to do it anyhow. For the first time in my life, and I didn't understand this until now, I met up with what depression was about. I preached 1 year here, and none of y'all knew it, except my select friends. I was under depression. I preached like I always preach. I went home with that black dog on me for 300 and some days. I couldn't handle some of the things that was handling me. But you know what God done? I deal with more people that's depressed now than I've ever dealt with them. And there's a ministry of people that are going through the same thing I was. And God said, you're going to go through it because there's a bigger picture and there's people that need you. And it led to me getting my doctorate in counseling. And right now I'm dealing with people that with severe depression that would not go to a doctor, that wouldn't get treated right unless they had a pastor says, I've been there. I can help you in your crisis. I can help you in your trial. And I want to tell all of you who've went through experiences in life, God's got a big picture. All things work together for the good. God's the God of the second chance. You said, man, I blew it in the past. Hallelujah. God says, pick it up. You can keep on going for my glory. Whew. I don't even want to preach, so I just need to tell you. I'm so old now, I don't even care. I'm going to be transparent. People need to know folks love them that really care. And people, is where you're at. Hey, you're not alone. There's a God that's still good. And He's always good. And He never makes a mistake. And He's on the throne. And He loves you. And He's working out a plan for you. Okay, let me go to number four. I know you can start over because Christ's protection relieves my fears. Look at Romans 8 and 31. Church, will you do me a favor? How many's got Romans 8 and 31 in your hand? Raise your hand if you got it. Okay, well, I want you to read it with me. Ready? What shall we then say to these things? Can we do that one more time? Just because I want you to sense what I'm preaching. Let me ask you somebody. Any of you seem like your life's upside down and you're kind of starting on your health is went, or maybe you fell into some bad situations financially and you're scared to death tonight. You're frightened. Let's read this again. Y'all ready? What shall we then say to these things real loud? If God be for us, who can what? Ladies and gentlemen, can I ask you something? Do you believe that? Amen. You said the devil's against us. Well, God's greater than the devil. I read the back of the book. He's going to hell and you're going to heaven. I want you to know that God has a protective hedge around you tonight, and it released my fear. I'm glad ain't nothing can happen to me without God allowing it to happen to me, and He's got a hedge around me. And I want you to know the devil can't break the hedge. You can raise your hand or not raise your hand. How many of you get prayed once in a while? How many been to places you said, I just don't know how things are going to work out. I'm afraid. I feel like maybe my job's on the line. I feel like that my family's on the line. And I'm fearful tonight. But I say to you, pick it up. If God be for you, who can be against you? This world can't defeat you. The liberals and the modernists and all this world has, the ugliness of this world, they cannot stand the power of Jesus Christ. Whew. Let me give you, see, fear is another great source of hopelessness. But let me give you this. Christ is not only with you all the time. Whew, I'm about to get happy. He's for you all the time.
Amen.
You said, is He for me even when I'm bad? You better thank God He's for you when you're bad. Amen. Some of y'all ought to be shouting. Right. He's for me all the time. Amen. I know He's with me all the time, but I want you to know He's for you. Praise God. He's my greatest cheerleader. He loved me. He wants me to keep on quitting. Keep on going. And I know why. You said, why haven't you quit? Why haven't you thrown in the towel? Why haven't you stopped? Why haven't you retired? Because God's for me and I'm going to stay by the stuff. Woo! It's not too late to start over. By the way, let me give you this math. Can I give you some math? One plus God equals a majority. Hey, if God's for you, you got the majority. Hey, teenager, He's for you. That's why He wants you to live pure. That's why He wants you to live right. That's why He wants your life. He don't want you to make no dumb mistakes. Somebody help me preach right here. Listen to me. God's for you. Amen. Number five. Oh, man. Number five. Look at verse 32. Y'all there? How many's there? Say amen. Why is it not too late to start over? Number five, because Christ's provision supplies my needs. For this right here, somebody, can we read one more again? Can we read this too? I guess I'm preaching, we can do it. Get your Bibles open. I want y'all to read this because there's something I want you to see. Y'all ready? Everybody ready? Say amen. All right, let's read together. Verse 32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely? Oh, no. I want y'all to, let's do that last, after that last comma. Can we do that all one more time? Will y'all do this for me one more time? How shall He not with Him also freely? Do you believe that? Jeff, do we believe that? I read a scripture in Psalms 84. He said, no good thing will He withhold from us. You know what the devil in the world has told you and put in your brain? That God is holding back on you. That God just is hanging you out to dry. You hear me out. God gives us everything we need emotionally, physically, and spiritually to survive. And he ain't charging for it either. He is freely. Man! Let me give you had a prayer request this week. And listen to me. Right now, I am praying that whatever you're facing, you talked about it up in that prayer room. He's freely, Jay Brandon, He's freely going to give you your need. Whatever, you know what you're going to face this week. I want you to know something. God's going to take care of it because you're a child of God. And He's going to provide for you. Somebody help me preach right there. Hey, I know you can start over. I know you can have a fresh start. I know God's not done with us now. You know why? Because He freely gives us everything we need to survive and have an abundant Christian life.
Amen.
Whoo. Hallelujah. It's not too late to start over. You said, I blew it in life. It's not too late to start over. The devil's trying to tell you you're a failure. The devil's trying to tell you there ain't no good left. It's not too late to start over. Whew. I'm going to give you one more. Then I'm going to give you four or five biblical examples and we're going to go home. Okay? Number six. look at Romans 8 and 38 and 39. How many like preaching right from the book?
Amen.
It's right down the book tonight. It's not too late to start over. Number 6. Because Christ's promise secures my future. Y'all ready to look at get y'all mind reading some more? This is it. I kind of enjoyed this tonight. It's a little different. How many got your Bibles? Get it to verse 38 and 39. You're going to do some more reading. Ready? How many's ready? Say amen.
Amen.
For I am persuaded. How many of you believe that's big? I'm telling you, I don't care how high you go, how low you go, how many devils and demons come after you. They will not be able to separate you from the love of God. God has eternally secured you. You're saved forever. You're on your way to heaven. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, you're a child of God. Let me give you 3 things here. Whew. I'm enjoying preaching. I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to tell you I want to shout right now because I know what I'm going to give you. I've heard preachers preach some of the ignorant stuff. I'm going to give you 3 things applied in 2 verses. Nothing will ever make God stop loving you. Hey, son. Hey, mom. Dad, you may have failed, and you may feel like your future is bleak, but I want all y'all to hear me out. You can't do anything to keep God from loving you. I got to tell you something. Now, sometimes I don't want to be around my kids. Okay? But I want you to know something from a human standpoint. Ain't nothing James and Julie can do to make me quit loving. And that's from my human standpoint. But I want you to know something. I don't care how far you've went, how low you've got, God will never stop loving you. Hey, listen to me. You say, I failed, preacher. God still loves you. There's still a second chance for you. There is power for you to start over tonight. Let me give you, let me give you a second thing. Not only nothing will ever make God stop loving me, nothing will ever make God abandon me. Oh, no. I want to tell you, there's been some times I didn't know if God was around, but I want you to know He was around. I didn't feel very spiritual, but He was around. You know what? God doesn't do His children like this. He doesn't say, okay, you just make it the best way you can. I'll leave you alone for a while. No, I've got a God that's ever present. Never leave me nor forsake me, but go all the way with me. He's even around me when I'm feeling Him. Whew. Man. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Can I do something? Will y'all turn your Bibles in the Old Testament for a minute? Turn to Jeremiah, please. You're going to do one more reading. Turn to Jeremiah, please. 3:22. Please get your Bible over there. If you're there, say amen. I'm going to give you time. If you're there, say amen. Did I say Jeremiah? My mistake. Lamentations. I'm sorry. Same guy wrote it, just different book. Lamentations 3:22. Let me give you the third thing. Nothing forever make God forget his promises to me. You say, why? How many's ready to read again? How many got to Lamentations 3:22? If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Reading time. Ready? It is of the Lord's that we are not, because his what? Let's go on. They are. Go on. Ray, I haven't enjoyed just reading the Bible any more than I have tonight and hearing you read the Bible. How many of y'all believe what you just read? I want you to know he is faithful. He's going to keep every promise. He will not forget you. You may have forgot him. You may have let down your mantle. You may have stopped. But God has not forgot you and will never forget you. It's not too late, young person, to start over. Mom, Dad, it's not too late for you to start over. I'm done. I'm going to give you a couple of examples and I'm finished. I wrote down 10. Look here, I just done this on scratch. Noah started over with a new society when he was 600 years old. There's some of you older folk, look at me. You're not done yet. Noah's greatest days was after 600. Some of us are older. We got gray hair now. But I want to tell you, God's not done. You know what? I'm not really ready to give it over to somebody else yet. I still think there's a few more years for this old man. Hey, I'm not too old. Hey, this generation needs stability. Hey, David sinned. And then, by the way, he sinned, cost him the kingdom, and he had a fourfold chastisement. He lost his baby, lost his daughter. She got raped by her own brother. Then the brother got killed by his brother. Not one hair on David's head was hurt, but David got chastised four times. I want to say something to you. That God still does chastisement, and that's how I know I'm saved. Boy, I like this. Job started over. He lost, he lost 10 kids. He lost his family. He was the richest man in the East. He lost his fortune. And he lost his health. But God started over in Job. One more verse to read. Lord, the Holy Ghost on me tonight on this. I can't help it. Turn to Job. Hurry. I won't give you all this. Turn to Job. I had a buddy named Norman Douglas. He used to call it Job. And remember, yeah, he called Psalms palms, but he turned to Job 42. If you're there, say amen. Now, what I want you to do, go down with me to verse number 10. Time to read again. Everybody that's there, say amen.
Amen.
And the Lord turned the. Come on. And the Lord. The captivity of Job when he what? Now look. Also the Lord gave. I got a God that's in the restoring business. I got a God that can double you up. You might say, I'm at the bottom of my life right now. I've made some bad choices. Can I tell you, it's not too late to start over, young man. Mom, Dad, it's not too late to start. There's some of you may be feeling down and hopeless and miserable. And folks have told you you'll never get out of the hole you're in. I got good news. You will if you trust Almighty God with your life.
Amen.
Bow your head with me. I'm done. Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many of you know that you know that you know if you die tonight, you know you're going to heaven? Raise your hand high. Participate with me. Raise them high. How many right now? Thank you. How many right now, you're a child of God and you've messed up in some areas and you blew it. But you say, Preacher Smith, I want to start over. I want to have another chance. I want God to take care of my needs. How many right now just say, Preacher, I have made some terrible decisions. But I want you to pray for me tonight because I desperately want a fresh start. Will you slip up your hand? God bless you. Bless you. Bless you, son. Bless these young people. Anybody else just say, Preacher, I blew it. I made some terrible errors, but I want a fresh start. I want God to use me like He's never used me before. I see it. I see that. I see you. How many right now, you're ashamed of some of the decisions you made? You thought probably 5 years ago you'd have said, I never made them, but I have. How many right now just say, Preacher, pray for me. Yes. I'll tell you what I want you to do. Stand with me. And I want all of you that raise your hand. A lot of young people you're awful young. I want to encourage you. You can start. Oh, God's got a big plan for you. I want all of you that raise your hand, moms and dads, and teenagers, grandpa, grandma, God will help you tonight. Let me pray. Our Father, Lord, I pray right now that you would touch. There's been hands raised all this place. I'm so moved by these young people that say they want a fresh start. And they're in school now. They've just begun. And they want to have a good year. And they want to be a great influence. God, I pray you'll touch them. And touch our altar call in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just want to come and pray tonight and just say, God, I want you to take my life and use it. Come on, come on, come on, let's sing. Come on. God, I want you to use my life. Teenager, come on. God, I want you to use my life. God, I want you to use my life. Don't get too hard tonight. Let God use you.